What's up, guys? Great training from Maggie Kuiper. Phenomenal training behind the curtain of a $9 million painting company. This is from Liftoff 2024, the number one house painting coding contractor online event in the world. I hope to see you at Blast Off. Stay tuned for that. That'll be later this year. But this is the type of value that you get from these online events. Hope you get a lot out of this one. This was an impactful, really, really impactful session with Maggie. You'll love to see it. It starts right now. Contractors all over the world are wanting more time, more freedom, more impact. The way we do this is through implementing systems, processes, standards. Welcome to the Contractor Secrets Podcast. Here we hit business strategy, coaching, mindset, motivation, the tools you need for success. So strap in, listen up, and get ready to grow on the Contractor Secrets Podcast.
Today's talk, 5 minutes later, is behind the curtain of a $9 million paint company. We get a lot of questions, we get a lot of emails, we get a lot of reach outs of just, how do you guys do this? How do you guys do that? And so I thought I'd just give you guys a pullback into exactly the systems, the processes, the things. This is one of your few non-marketing talks for Blast Off. And we're going to talk a little bit about what we do for marketing, but we're going to talk a lot bit about a bunch of other things. So hopefully what you guys realize today is that what we're doing at the size and volume that we are is not that complicated and it's replicatable. And so hopefully you guys get some tips, tricks, and things that maybe you can realize aren't that hard to implement in your own company. So straight from the horse's mouth, I'm Maggie Kuiper. I'm the owner and CEO of Harpeth Painting. We are a Nashville, Tennessee painting contractor, commercial and residential, and we were founded in 2017. I've got all kinds of cute animations that you can't see right now, so you're just going to get it raw. 2017, it was me and my husband founded the company, and we basically took, as many of you can probably acknowledge, any job that we could. We did our neighbor's front door, which you can see here. Matt was spraying cabinets in our garage. Somebody wanted wood replacement on their exterior. Yes, sir. We do wood replacement. It was whatever we could do to build our experience and to build our client base. And so it was definitely, a year of bootstrapping. And if you're not familiar with that word, Google it. And that's how most of us have probably started our companies. Fast forward to 2023. We now have 10 members in our office, team members in our office. We'll talk a little bit more about who they are and what they look like later. We've got over 75 painters in the field, and we're currently running jobs in 5 different states. So pretty big operation, pretty crazy. Some of the things we're exploring and learning throughout the process. We are almost an even split between commercial and residential. I'm not going to give too much context into our company, but enough for you guys to see what we're doing. We are new repaint, either one split down the middle. We are a subcontractor model. If any of you are interested in that, it's a huge specialty of ours. We've got some pretty robust systems, processes, and onboarding for subcontractors. It's a big, it's a big thing in the state of Tennessee, and I realize every state is different. And so I'm happy to, I'll provide my email at the end, but if you want to talk on subs, we'll talk on subs. And we are also currently building out a flooring division. So I give this little slide just for you guys to see. We do a lot. And so what's cool about what you guys are going to see today is that all these systems and these things that we've built out can be applied to every single one of these bullet points. And they look different and they're very much tweaked a little bit. And it's a diverse offering. It's a complicated business model, but we've learned how to simplify our systems and apply them to everything. So we do repaints across both wall covering, cabinets. We're Fine Paints of Europe high gloss, or we're Fine Paints of Europe certified. So we do a lot of high gloss projects, complicated staining projects, sanitary coatings in a lot of food and industrial facilities, light industrial work, sandblasting, faux finishing, lime wash plaster, et cetera. So we have so many crazy things that we're doing, but we've built out these systems. And so hopefully you guys see today, no matter what you're doing, if it's just you and you're an awesome faux finisher, if you're building out a larger industrial company, no matter what it is, what we're going to talk about today applies to these things. And we are going to talk about marketing, finances, all the stuff. So here's a little bit of outline we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the core values in our company. It's a huge driving factor for everything that we do. We're going to talk about our team, what it looks like, the organization. We're going to talk about our systems, our secret weapons, what our day-to-day rhythms look like. We're going to go through financials. We're going to go through marketing, our growth plans, our pain points, and what this looks like to be the owner of all this. So there's behind the curtain. And this little kid was doing like a little cute peek through if my presentation was actually working. But here we are. Our core values. I put these first and foremost. Our company's core values lead everything that we do. They lead who we hire. They lead who we partner with. They lead our clients that we dive into. Our core values are absolutely non-negotiables for us. These are our five core values that we have settled on as owners of this company. My husband also owns this company with me. Continuous improvement, gaining and maintaining trust, problem solving, expertise, and teamwork. And so if there's any type of conflict, we always come down to these five core values. If there's any type of praise and approval, it's always based on which of these core values did you uphold. And so we really implement these core values into everything we do. I don't believe that we could have scaled and grown to the size that we've gotten without having these core values. It's just like parenting. You've got to have core beliefs that you pass on to your children, or it's just willy-nilly. You're just, you know, picking from left and right. We have this conversation as parents about our kids brushing their teeth. They suck at brushing their teeth. And if anyone else's kids are young and leave toothpaste all over the sink, or don't brush their teeth, or get in fights over their toothbrushes, whatever it is. And we spent all this time in the nitty gritty of like, wipe the sink out, put your toothbrush away, make sure you brush your molars, all these little details, instead of stepping back and saying, it's important for you to take care of your teeth in our house. And that's the core value that we're trying to get to. And so these core values have grounded us back in conflicts, in problem solving, in everything that we get to, all comes back to these five core values. If you don't have core values in your company, I highly recommend you make that a focus for 2024. If you have them, but don't know them, or have them, but don't really buy into them, that's okay. You're allowed to pivot. Your company, you do it. And so I encourage you to do that. Our team and our organization, similar to our core values, our primary focus when we've hired in our company, whether they're subcontractors or employees, is that we are hiring for culture. And that culture is surrounding our core values. Our culture doesn't just mean that they like the same things that we like, or they laugh at the same jokes we laugh at. It's rooted in why they're showing up for work and why they're doing what they're doing. And so our org chart, which is, if you're not familiar with that, it's the term that builds out where everybody goes, where everybody lands, who reports to who. This is a constantly changing document in our company. We spent months and months evolving it. As soon as we think we've got it nailed down, we're tweaking and editing. So it's not perfect. But what this org chart does is it gives our company accountability. It gives people an opportunity to understand who they report to, who they go to, what their job is, et cetera. So this is our org chart as of last year. We're going to probably have some tweaking a little bit this year. But whether you're watching or listening, we've got an executive committee, which is Matt and I, the owners. We are the visionaries for the company. And then my role as CEO is to oversee all of those visions, right? And put them into progress and make it happen. We have actually divided our company not by commercial and residential, contrary to popular belief. We have divided by repaint and new construction. And you'll better understand that if you think deeper. The processes of a residential new construction and a commercial new construction are so similar. The process for a commercial repaint and a res repaint are so similar. And so, well, I know that commercial jobs are commercial jobs and everybody has this commercial category. In reality, our customer experience, our billing process, our systems make so much more sense when we divide it this way. So we have a person that's in charge of our repaint division, person in charge of new construction. We've got estimators underneath, oversees our project managers, and then we have our administrative department. So what does that look like specifically? And I realize I'm pummeling through this quickly, but hopefully you guys get some nuggets of information to help carry you on your way. Our director of repaint oversees our sales for repaints. He makes sure the customer experience is top notch, and he kind of oversights the marketing efforts specific to repaint. The director of new construction oversees sales for new construction. Continuously networking. Obviously, the specific new construction jobs we do are based on networks and relationships. And so there's a different marketing tactic there, which we'll talk about later. And then overseas safety products. Things are a lot more complicated on the new construction front. Our operations director makes the world go round. He makes sure production goes smooth. He is on our subcontractor onboarding process. He owns that process. He makes sure the subs have what they need to get taken care of. He makes sure that they're aware of what they need to do. And then he works on just general team development pieces. Our estimators, their job is to price, their job is to sell. Their job is to build relationships with clients. Their job is to get paint jobs on the calendar. Our project manager's jobs is to make sure the jobs are timely, profitable, and everybody's happy, the sub, the customer, et cetera. So we always use the analogy of football. Our estimator is the quarterback, and they're trying to get a perfectly thrown spiral football into the hands of the project manager so the project manager can execute the touchdown. There are gray areas, right? Just like in football, there are times, which go blue, by the way, but there are times that the football maybe doesn't spin perfectly. And there's a lot of fingers that can be blamed at that. But remember, one of our core values is teamwork. So if there's a bad handoff, if there's a bad throw, if there's a bad catch, we're still a team and we're still going to work together to make up for that. And then lastly is our accounting manager, which she runs our financial dashboard. She runs our invoicing and she handles a lot of our insurance reporting. How long did it take us to fill these seats? Woof, a while. Our company, our first official company hire was 3 or 4 years into business, and we're on year 7. So I say a while, but we made about 2 hires a year. And as I mentioned, our org chart continued to evolve as we saw the needs of the company. We are a work in progress, okay? We are not a 30-year-old, you know, second generation company, but we are definitely learning and growing at the pace that we can. And then there's the role of the CEO. If you're the owner of the company, whether or not you admit it, if you have a paintbrush in your hand right now, or if you are in charge of 2 people, or if you're in charge of 25 people, you're the CEO of the company. And teaching myself to think like a CEO has been a learning process, to be honest and transparent. My background is teaching and coaching. And so at my heart, I love that. I love supporting my team and helping them be the best they can be. However, the role of the CEO is ever evolving. There's days that I'm teaching and coaching. There's days that I'm goofing around with my team. There's days that I'm working on new products, certifications, making sure that we're doing the best we can for our clients. There's days that I'm out in the field problem solving. There's days that I'm networking. There's days that I am a counselor to our employees. There's days that I'm, a therapist, a prayer partner, a mom sometimes to some of them. And so the role of CEO is It's a hard one to define, but at the pace that we've been running, we are a jack of all trades. I would rather let my team succeed if I need to support my estimator by helping him with some math so he can do his job. I'm going to stop what I'm doing and help him with some math. And so servant leadership is something that we take very seriously in our company. It's something that I'm very passionate about. So that's kind of the structure of our company. That's our team. It's our organization. If we go back to the org chart, we've got a lot of people selling. Both our directors are still selling actively. So right now we have about four people selling plus me. I still have a few clients from back in the day. And so we have quotas that our salespeople are supposed to meet. We have quotas that our PMs are supposed to manage. Right now that sits between $2 to $2.5 million for each of those that are in charge of estimating. So we have some pretty hefty sales goals for our team. So what does a day-to-day look like in a company like this? I think the rhythms are important. What does it look like to have 10 people in your office? What does it look like to have 75 painters in the field? Probably not that much different than what you're doing. We've just had to have some more opportunities for grounding and togetherness. And so our company schedule, we meet every single Monday, non-negotiable. Christmas was off, New Year's was off. But the Monday team meeting happens and it is a requirement. If you are out of town, you don't have to call in. If you're on vacation, you don't have to call in. But if you're in town, you're at our Monday meeting. Tuesday, we have a leadership meeting. So the directors, the ops director, commercial repaint, and I, excuse me, new construction repaint and I, we all meet every Tuesday. We are meeting to know that we have to keep our company on track, and we're going to talk about what we're on track for. Wednesday, we have a scheduling meeting. So every Wednesday, the whole team sits down and we pull up that god-awful calendar and we try to figure out how in God's great green earth we're going to figure out who gets what job, when that job starts, who the PM is. It is a complicated process, and you'll see what that calendar looks like soon. But we do that every Wednesday, and all of these meetings are 1 hour, 1 hour a week, 1 hour Monday. Leadership 1 hour Tuesday, scheduling meeting 1 hour Wednesday. My sales has weekly sales meetings, so my repaint team meets, my new construction team meets. That's on their own, typically about 30 to 45 minutes checking in on sales. And then our ops director meets one-on-one with the PMs, check in on those PMs. It's about a 25, 30-minute meeting. How are your jobs going? What do you need from me? Any problems, any wins? And that's a great pulse. These are all in-person meetings. We have an office that everyone meets at. And today, for example, we called into our leadership meeting because I don't have a good place to do a Zoom call at our office, and I have a kid home. So thanks to COVID, we all know how to do Zoom meetings as an alternate. And then lastly, we have a monthly meeting that we call our SEAL team meeting. And this is with our accounting manager, our leadership team, and we sit down and we go through the numbers. We have larger jobs. I think our AJS is, as a company, about $35,000, $40,000. And so our jobs are not turning over every week. And so every month we sit down and review the monthly financials for our company. Communication within our company, we require our PMs to do daily job updates. This is important. Obviously, the salespeople are not super involved once the job kicks off. And so this does help them keep involved in case they want to check in case there's any questions, concerns. It's a great documentation point. And I'll talk about how we do these daily updates momentarily. We do weekly job costing. So every week, our job costing is updated, and we share that as a team at our Monday meeting. We have requirement that our sales guys respond same day to any inquiries on sales, and then they have a 48-hour turnaround on pricing. And that's for our repaint division. The new construction, they have their own schedule. Schedules are typically dictated by the contractor or the client. And so that is the communication piece for repaint. So the systems and secret weapons. And this is where I think you guys are definitely going to see that there's a lot of revenue. There's a lot of painters. There's a lot going on. But what we do is not that complicated and not something that can't be recreated. The main goal for our systems. So this guy right here is our ops director, and he has been phenomenal in helping us build out most of the systems that you see here. Some of them we already had and he made them better. Some of them he created. One of the things that we think is important is that we don't complicate. We are complicated. You saw the list of things we offer. It's already complicated enough for us to do some of the things we're doing. We're not trying to add extra steps internally. We also want to get buy-in from everyone. We are super team oriented, and I trust every single person that I hired deeply. And so if they don't believe that something we're doing is efficient, if they don't believe it's necessary, and if they don't believe it's for the best of our company, I want to hear that. And I'm going to listen to it. And we're going to potentially take their feedback and make some tweaks. Also want to make sure that our systems are accessible. As Eric says, they need to be scalable and not redundant. That's our ops director. Everything that we do right now needs to be able to happen if we became a $12 million company or a $30 million company. It needs to be able to be scaled, and it needs to be something that's not redundant. I don't need Melanie entering data in one spreadsheet, then entering the same data in another spreadsheet, and then asking the sales guy to do it somewhere else. We don't need all that redundancy. We don't want to complicate things. So I'm going to give you guys five key components to our systems that I consider our secret weapons. The first one of these is Google. We were just joking on our leadership call today that our ops director might as well be a certified Google person. We have maxed out Google and are not done. We're loving it. So we use Google Calendar for all of our scheduling. So if you log on, if you're in a Harpeth Painting email, you're going to see this calendar. It's color-coded by sub crew. So you'll see over here on the left, every sub crew has their own calendar. When we get to our scheduling meeting, we can click those calendars on and off to simplify what we're looking at. But this is how our subs get their work orders. This is how our PMs get their job information. This is how we know what's on the calendar. And so you'll see over here, I screenshotted an example of, Courtney, Google. An example of, if you click on a job, you'll see there's an address. Where's the job? Who's the PM? What's the scope? Or it'll be a link to the work order. And so it just depends on the specific job, but this is how we do all scheduling, all of it. We use Google Drive for all of our files, all of our storage, everything that our company runs off of, all documents are run through Google Drive. We actually hired a company. We were on Dropbox. We hired a really neat little company that helped us implement a Google Drive system down to all this like beautiful file organization that you see on the side here. They walked us through a nomenclature system for our files so that they're easy to access, that they line up chronologically, and that we know where things are. And the last thing that we use Google for is a good amount of submissions. And so requests for shop work, our submissions from our subs. We keep building out Google Forms to best help our company internally. All right. Secret weapon number two, Excel and Google Sheets. I use the word Excel because that's the generation I grew up in. However, Google Sheets is like the same thing, right? I get the difference, but it's all the same squares to me. We use Excel for job costing. We use it for all of our financial tracking and metrics, and then we use it for our complex estimating. That's the biggest question I think we get is, how do we job cost? How do we estimate? Our job cost spreadsheet is on a Google Sheet. There is a tab for every single job for the year. Most of our jobs last for a long time. A lot of them are complicated, so we're back and forth over the course of months. We color code it based on billing. We track our billing cycles. We track our hours worked. We track our materials. Everything is housed in this job costing spreadsheet. We were not able to build this out into all the awesome softwares that exist out there, partially because of the number of different places that we're acquiring materials, the subcontractor hours. There's so much going on that we've found Excel to be the answer. Here's some deep dive into our numbers. We use Excel for all of our financial metrics. And so one of our accounting manager's jobs every single month is to go through and analyze our numbers. She's going to give us reports on jobs closed. What were their profit? How did they go? Who was the PM? Who was the crew? And we talk about these at our Monday meeting. We go through all of these numbers as a team. We talk about the red ones. We talk about the green ones. Everything's fair game. All of it done in Excel. Another example of our metrics, this is last year's closed out jobs. So analysis of what type of job they were, what were the profits based on each quarter, based on each type of job. She graphs it out for us. Total closed out, AJS, et cetera. All of this we do with formulas in Excel. And then the last thing is some of our complicated bidding. We use Stack for our plan takeoffs. And then typically 9 times out of 10, we're going back into Excel and running these numbers. These are really complicated spreadsheets that we've built out that if we pitch in all of our quantities here, choose all our products, it's going to start to spit us out a formula for our price to give to our client. So it is, it's Excel through and through for us. As crazy as it is, you would think there'd be something fancier, but here we are. Secret weapon number three, Slack. If you guys use Slack, it's great. Some people love it, some people hate it. But for us, it basically is an opportunity for us to not have texts and emails get lost. Yeah, I know a lot of people hate Slack. Slack is a tool for us that basically allows us to have our job updates and any other communication. So here's a picture. We have all every job has a Slack channel. The PM can put updates in. So for example, on this job, priming's finished, a couple areas need to be sanded. I gave him a little great feedback from the builder, and then he told me this unit's done. Period. End of story. So Slack is super low key for us. It's job updates. It's important information. It's not back and forth. It's not, excessive communication. It's not issues. I'm not posting on here like, why didn't you do this? This is bad. Fix this. It does look just like Discord. I think they're the same thing. But this has been super helpful. Secret weapon number four, our intranet. This is actually one of the things that our operations director built out within his first few months of being here. Everything is in Google Drive. We've got all these great documents and resources and tools, but it was kind of a chore to find them. And so he built us basically a little internal homepage. He built it out on Google. Our subs can access it, our team can access it, and it basically houses the core information that they need. And so, for example, if you clicked on this production tab, it takes you to this window here where the project managers can access documents that they need, checklists that they need. So it kind of created a little bit simpler of a hub. This is an old screenshot, but we've got some upcoming trainings, we've got some upcoming activities, and so when you log into the intranet, it's right there for everyone to see. Our secret weapon number five. If you've ever heard me talk, you've heard me say this. If not, listen up. These four people are the most important things for you as a business owner. Our secret weapons are our lawyer, our accountant, our banker, and our insurance agent. These people are on our current org chart. I consider them a key part of our company. If I do not have these four people, I do not have the company that I have. Our lawyer helps us keep subcontractor law accountable. Any type we have contract negotiation issues, God forbid we have AR issues, our lawyer is in our back pocket. He knows our company, he knows us. and we're kosher. Our accountant obviously helping us with whatever taxes are. And then our banker, we have a large company. We do a lot of commercial work. We have a lot of pre-qualification processes that we need done. We have a lot of bonding that needs to get completed. And again, my banker, one quick email, things are handled. We need to increase our line of credit because our revenue is growing. Boom, done. And so that relationship with our banker is super important. And then lastly, with our insurance agent, he's providing us with training, he's auditing. He's doing all the things to make sure that we're compliant with insurance so that there's no issues, or that if there is an issue, he's privy and knows what's going on. All right, those are our five of our secret weapons. I'm going to talk a little bit about financials, marketing, a couple more things as we funnel out. I know I'm close to time, Tanner. Here's a
Doing
list of
great.
thanks,
Hey,
bud.
save a couple minutes for a couple Q&A, please.
Yep. Here's a couple of financial metrics that we track with our company. I'm just going to plow through these real quick if you're listening. We track our gross profit. We track our net promoter score, which is customer happiness. We track our backlog. We track our bid hit ratio. We look at profit, but we look at it broken down per vertical. So, how's commercial repaint doing? How are cabinets doing? We look at it per employee and we look at it per subcontractor. And then we apply all those, right? So, how does my sales guy Justin do in new construction? How does my sales guy Kenneth do in cabinets? And so we kind of cross over all those breakdowns. ROI for marketing and then our AJS. When it comes to marketing, y'all, we're not super complicated. We spent $0 in traditional marketing and built to a $5 million company. What did we do? We did networking, we did face to face. We were involved in our community. We put ourselves out there. We did email marketing and social media a little bit, but y'all, this has been a relationship building process. And we have tried to put the dollars in, but the dollars go. The networking marketing has been huge for us. I'll skip over this. We plan for our initiatives. Cheers to that. Here's what's hard about being a company our size. Get it, hard hat, right? Times get slow. That's a lot of people. 75 painters and 10 staff. They need jobs in the winter. That's a heavy load to keep busy. We also have times that we're super busy. That's exhausting. It's a lot to manage. With that comes cash flow, right? New construction has a sometimes a 60 to oftentimes 90 day push. So yeah, pop champagne when you get a $2 million contract, but that also means that we might have to cash flow a large chunk of that progress before we get paid. How to market across all the crazy things that we do, and then also just learning, like we're flying the plane as we're building it. Yeah. On the personal side, please never forget, you're not alone in this. I'm gonna plow through quickly what I really wanted to talk about, but you need to find your support system. We found it with people here in this group. We found it with people commenting on this post. We do not be afraid of reaching out for help, whether it's a professional person, because this is hard. This is hard to run a business, and it's hard to be the be-all end-all. The buck stops with us, and that's a big load to carry and to wake up every morning and go to bed every night thinking about. But we're all in this. And so make sure that the company you build is for you and that you have the support system for it. If you don't have a support system, lean into the PCA. We've got local gathering groups. Expo 2024 is going to be incredible. And I've made some of my greatest lifelong friends through that and through these online groups. The number of people that I'm now friends with, thanks to Facebook, is incredible. So there's my email address. Godspeed to you guys in 2024, and I'll open it up for questions.
Maggie, as always, thank you. Wow, nice seeing how it really works when you hit that
Yeah.
level. I think that's a level. I don't know. Did you think when you first launched this thing that you'd get to this level? I mean, is that something you had planned, or did you just kind of keep moving the needle as things
Yeah.
got bigger? How did that turn out?
Nope, we did not plan. We were real happy at 2.5 million. But going back to our core values, the clients that we love and the clients that our core value match kept growing. So whether that specific client grew or they referred us, whether it's a homeowner or a contractor, those people who share the core values that we share just kept growing. So we grew with them.
I love that. We had a couple questions come in, guys. If you could please put the questions in here. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to just rattle them off. We have Kevin's question. You mentioned time reports for subs. Can you explain the need for that real quick?
Yep. So our subs, most of them are paid by the job. So we agreed upon an amount based on the job. We do have a lot of subs that we pay by the hour based on the complexity of the job. So they have what's called an open work order. And that's a legal document that we've worked on that they sign. And it just puts a lot of impetus on the PM then to keep on the hours, make sure we're not overworking, not underworking. We pay them weekly. They use that intranet portal. They go in, they log their hours. It goes to a spreadsheet. Our PMs verify the hours to make sure it's not bogus. And then I pay them. And that goes every week, rinse and repeat.
There's a question about how are you writing up your estimates to send to the customer?
It depends on the vertical, right? So a lot of the GC works, they have their own portal. We have to submit it through the estimate process, and what we've put out there is still something that we're tweaking because we're so complicated, because we're putting things in so many different places. So don't have a great answer for that, other than we do make sure we get written confirmation or a signature on whatever we send.
There was a question about the open work order. Someone asked to see it, but maybe you can just describe it.
Yeah. David, take a picture of my email or shoot me an email. I can send you what that document looked like. A lot of questions on here on commercial work. We definitely don't do a lot of public bidding. We'll do it occasionally if we know the company, but for the most part, we are going in. We are taking them lunch. We are building relationships. We are meeting and greeting. We are not going to bid. That's how we have lost our shirts, is just bidding randomly to hope we get work. We're bidding for people that we want to work with, people that value us as much as we value them.
Nice. Are there any public bid sites you recommend to get easy, low-hanging fruit jobs?
No, I think easy, low-hanging fruit with commercial would be starting and repaint. Find property managers. That's the low-hanging fruit. I think if the new construction piece, if you're out on the open market bidding, we can't control quality at that. We can't control the quality of the GC. We don't know what they're going to do to us.
Do you pay the hourly subs through 1099 as well?
Yes, correct. Everybody is 1099. That is correct.
I've been able to do over 5 million in two counties. Can you elaborate when you decide to go into a new state or location and what some of your KPIs are for new territories for a quick launch? Do you Yelp every time or subcontractors page?
Our rule for travel work is that it has to be for somebody we want to travel for. So we are not seeking new opportunities in these cities. It's working with clients, whether it's a designer, a builder, or a manufacturer. So there's a few paint vendors that have actually asked us to go work for clients in other areas, specific products that we're special trained in. And so we do it either for one of those three things. We're not just going to Kalamazoo, Michigan and searching for paint jobs. We're currently at a job in Ohio. That's with a GC out of Nashville. They're building a plant in Ohio. So we followed them up there. Same thing, we find paints of Europe. We got an inquiry for a job in Kentucky. So we went up 4 hours away and did a sleepaway job in Kentucky for fine paints. So it's a very niche-y component. It's not us chasing down work outside of Nashville.
How are you structuring your sales compensation?
Oh, that's great. Our sales team is compensated. They get we give them a fairly generous base salary because at our size and with our new construction component, we definitely need to have an opportunity for the schedule to be optimized, not maximized. I don't want my guys just selling work to sell work. I want them selling work to fit in our schedule. So they have a base salary they could live off of, and then they get commissioned off of any jobs that are above 40% gross profit. They receive a percentage of that gross profit.
How much revenue is a single project manager able to manage with subs per month and then per year?
I don't know the answer per month. That's a great question. Probably should look that up. But our main commercial PM manages about 3.5 million, and then our other PMs are in the $2 to $3 million range, depending on their AJS.
What are your margins for residential jobs versus commercial jobs?
We shoot for 30 to 35 on new construction. We shoot above 40 for anything repaint.
Beautiful. And one more question. We have someone that would like some advice to begin scaling. They're at 250,000 in 2023, and they're at a two-man crew.
Scale if it works for you. That was my talk last year. You need to figure out how much money you want to make and how many hours you want to work, and then you're going to build your company from there. Last year's talk, I said it and I'll say it again. If I make the same take-home pay at a $9 million company that I made when I ran a $2.5 million company, I am not wealthier in my family's budget because of our size. But my job is different. I'm not selling. I'm not project managing. I'm not out in the field. And so I think it's important to realize you got to figure out what you want to do and what that costs. How much work do you need to sell to do what you want to do? And that's how you build your company. If shit hit the fan and we went back to 2.5 million, I would not like what I do day to day. That wasn't life-giving to me, and I don't think it's what I was made to do. So scale if you want. But if you love what you're doing and you're happy and you're making a good living, don't scale.
Yeah, love that. Maggie, you've generated quite a fan base here in the comments. How can they what's the best way for someone to reach out to you? 'Cause it looks like you're gonna have a few messages from
Good.
inspired individuals, which we love to see. So how can we reach out to you?
Email the ever-loving joy out of me. I'm horrible at Facebook Messenger, and our Instagram on our company at Harbeth Painting LLC, it's super fun to follow, but my whole team is involved in the inboxes, so you're going to get lost in there. Maggie at harbethpaintingllc.com. If you Facebook message me, that's fine. I'm just going to ask you to email me. I would love to chat with you. I would love to get to know you. I would love to share any information that we have or learn from you.
Beautiful. Maggie, thank you so much as
Tanner,
always.
you're awesome. High five
Thank
for what
you.
you're doing.
Cheers.
I'll
We'll
see
see you
you
at
in
the
February.
expo. Oh yeah, we'll be there. Expo Orlando. If you haven't grabbed your ticket, now's your chance to get to meet Maggie. It's even better.
Hugs for
So
everyone.
come to the expo. If you haven't bought a ticket, if you think this is valuable, wait till you actually rub shoulders with these people. Maggie, thank you as always. And God bless you and your journey. You got a lot going on, girl. Keep rocking. Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks so much for listening to the Contractor Secrets Podcast. So, I don't really advertise on this and I don't ask for much. You guys know that. But what I would ask of you is to give Drip Jobs a try. So, if you don't know what Drip Jobs is, it'd be hard for that to be a thing. But if you don't know what Drip Jobs is, it is the software that you need to power your business, to automate things that you're either wanting to do and not doing, or currently doing and just not doing to the standard of which you want to be doing it. And that's where software comes in. I have spent the last 3 years of my life with my team building out this software. And hopefully by now you've heard about it. And maybe you know of a friend that's using it, or maybe you are feeling confident just by hearing it on this podcast. So my big ask for you, if you're getting something out of what I put out, some of the value that you're getting from this podcast, is to just go to dripjobs.com and schedule a free demo with my team. That's it. That's all I want you to do. Just do a demo. I want you to be aware of what features we have and how it can help build your business. Now, some people that I've spoken to say they're not quite ready for Drip Jobs. Maybe they feel as though they're too small or it's not in the budget. First of all, everyone's ready for Drip Jobs. You need the features that are in this software to manage a business, whether that's creating proposals, invoices, change orders, work orders. It doesn't matter if you are a one-man operation or you run a crew of 25 people, Drip Jobs is going to be the app for you. Second thing is it out of budget? Don't worry about that right now. We offer an extended trial if you sign up on the day of the demo that can give you a kickstart to get going. The goal of Drip Jobs is to make you money within the first 30 days. This could be capitalizing on a lead that you got, or even helping you upsell work with the optional item feature. So many things here. Again, the big ask that I have as a listener of this podcast, if you have not done a demo with us, please do so and check out what we're building. We continuously update this thing, and I'd love for you to be a part of that. I'd love to see if it can impact your business, and that is my goal. So thanks for listening to this podcast. Hope you take me up on that offer. Get to dripjobs.com, do a free demo with our team, and see what all the hype is about.